Joining me now on the phone is Pastor Joel C. Hunter of North Atlantic Church, distributed down in Florida. And Pastor, it's great to welcome you here to the Paul Edwards program.
Well, it's great to be on. Thanks for having me.
I was not aware that that any type of evangelical summit was going to be taking place at the White House. I must be terribly out of the loop, but this is something we might expect President Bush to do, not President Obama to do.
Well, this was a meeting of our national board, the National Association of Evangelicals. We have about 30 million members in the U.S., and we requested an audience with President Obama, as we have done with President Reagan, President Bush, and President Obama accepted, and so that's how it took place.
How many evangelical leaders were there?
We were in the Roosevelt Room, actually right outside the Oval Office, and so there's only space for a limited number, and there were about, I think, 19 or 20 in the room.
You know, the Christian Post says, Dr. Hunter, that the subject of religious freedom was high on the agenda. Did specifically the plight of Pastor Youssef in Iran, the Iranian Christian who is facing execution for allegedly converting from Islam to Christianity, did that come up at all?
Absolutely. That was the first thing out of the box, as a matter of fact. And we commended the President and Secretary of State for coming out as strongly against that, trumped-up situation as they have, and they're doing everything they can, and we certainly are advocating that they do that to get him free.
Did the President say anything specifically about Pastor Youssef, his own opinion about that case, whether it's justified, unjustified?
Absolutely. It's outrageous. He deems it outrageous.
Also, when we think about the issue of religious freedom around the world, my understanding is that the Senate, I think it's the Senate that has to re-up on the committee on religious freedom. What is the President's position on that?
Well, he wants it to happen. I mean, he is for. Very staunch advocate for international religious freedom, and this commission needs to be funded. The U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom needs to be funded, and it's held up in some Senate committee, and the President was unaware of that wrinkle, and he asked Joshua Dubois, who's his religious liaison, to follow up on it. So I don't know whether it's some political deal or whatever, but it runs out in a few weeks, and so we're hoping they can get that out of committee and get it approved.
You've been right there with President Obama since the day he was elected. You were privileged to pray with him, after he was elected and became President-elect, Dr. Hunter. The President does seem to have an evangelical problem, as I put my finger quotes in the air. Evangelical Christians are somewhat skeptical, and I should say conservative evangelical Christians on the right are somewhat skeptical of this president and his profession of faith. And yet this is a president who on Easter came out very boldly and made a clear statement of his faith in Jesus Christ. From where you sit high atop the evangelical world there, Dr. Hunter, why is it that this president seems to have such a difficult time convincing evangelicals that he really is a Christian?
Well, there are a couple of reasons for that. First of all, he is trying to toe the line on equal rights as provided by the Constitution, and so he takes some stands, I think, politically that are variants with our traditional understanding. And so, but the main thing here, the main problem is that he has chosen to keep his religious life private, so that it is not politicized. There are very few of us that know just how dedicated he is. I am providentially placed in a position to write him devotions every week. This is a man in the Word every day, and we've gone through the Gospel of Luke together in the Gospel of Mark, and now we're going through the Epistle to the Romans, and I pray with him periodically in the Oval Office, and so I know he is a genuine Christian, but people tend to look through a political spectrum rather than a spiritual one. And again, part of the problem is if you're not very public about it, then people will kind of fill in the blanks with their own scenarios or the latest scary rumor or whatever it is, no matter how inaccurate it is. And so I don't blame people for falling for this stuff because the president has decided not to make his personal religious life real public simply because he doesn't want it to be a political football.
Is it your view that he is right to say that the Constitution extends equal rights, particularly in the area of marriage, to same-sex couples?
That's a legal question. We take a moral stance, and so our view is, just as Christians, that is, you know, the moral stance is marriage is between a man and a woman. The Constitution, as to the legal or the equal rights among all people and so on and so forth, is up for interpretation. And so I think that's what he struggles with, and that's part of what we talked about, is the variance with his personal views, which he has stated, it marriages between a man and a woman, and also his responsibility as president to extend equal rights to all people. And so he really is wrestling with this. I mean, he's struggling with it.
Are you concerned personally as a pastor, Dr. Hunter, about the Pentagon issuing a directive that now military chaplains can perform same-sex ceremonies on or off military bases? And the political question aside, is it a concern to you personally as an evangelical Christian that sort of thing could be being sanctioned by a military chaplain in the name of God?
Well, it does bother me, simply because I don't believe it's right. And but on the actual message says, the actual signed statement of the Department of Defense is that a chaplain is not required to participate in or officiate a private ceremony if doing so would be in variance with the tenets of his or her religion and personal beliefs. And so where it bothers me is that, you know, we have chaplains that, you know, that's where they would go with this. And so for me, it's a more, you know, I would hope that our chaplains would take the angle of Scripture rather than their own, you know, personal beliefs. I'm bothered by a moral basis, but not a legal one.
But on the question of the legal basis, Dr. Hunter, when all this gets sorted out, as eventually it will be by the courts, and the courts will, it seems to me, inevitably decide that, yes, same-sex couples do have a constitutional right to marriage, and the Pentagon then dictates to military chaplains that they must be doing this, because I think that's the slippery slope we're on. I think
that's part of the assurance that we got, that's just not going to happen. And that's what this signed statement means, you know, that no chaplain will be forced to do anything in variance with the tenets of his or her religion or personal beliefs. So we've got that in writing. But I know people's rumors is, okay, next we're going to be forced to do these. And many pastors and churches, you know, cite, you know, cases in Sweden and all of these places where pastors have been persecuted and all that kind of stuff. But the United States is not Sweden. You know, we're 80% Christian in this country, and it ain't going to happen here.
What is the future as we wind this up, Dr. Hunter? What is the future of evangelical political engagement, both from the left and the right? I mean, we're seeing the era, I think, of the religious right coming to an end, and the issues that were of concern to them, what some have called the below the belt issues, the moral issues relative to abortion and homosexuality, are taking a back seat to the issues that obviously you find important, and in terms of immigration reform and environmentalism and creation care. Are we going to ever come to a place where we see evangelicals just acting as citizens of the United States and the pulpit disconnecting itself from the political structure of our culture.
I don't think we ever will. No, I mean, it's part of the scriptural command is that we render to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's, and part of our responsibility is to be citizens and to voice and vote our values. And so a Christian will be a Christian whether it's in the public square or in the church. And I think we will always be advocates not only for moral causes, but for causes of biblical justice. And I think that's just part of our social witness. It's part of the way we witness for Christ. So I can't ever see the church disconnecting. Of course, the fundamentalist part of the church already has. They just said, look, that's not our world. You know, we're going to just stay in the church. But most of the church, especially with this next generation of Christians, are going to be politically engaged but not preoccupied by politics. It's just a part of what we do, but it's not the main thing we do. The main thing we do is witness for Jesus Christ.
Do you agree with my friend and colleague at Salem, Bill Bennett, when he says last week at the Values Voter Summit that it is bigoted for Dr. Robert Jeffress, a fellow pastor, to characterize Mormonism as a cult? Do you have any thoughts on that whole situation?
Well, he was making a theological distinction. I think if you try to take that into a political realm, and Jeffress said, you know, I would rather vote for a Mormon than the expressed Christian that is in the White House now. So, I mean, it's not that he was making a theological distinction. And in his theology, Mormonism is at variance with historic Christianity, and he has every right to do that. So I don't think that's bigoted. I think that's a theological distinction that he assumes. I think if you carry it over and you say, we can never vote for anybody with a theology different than we are, that's your right, but that is then bigotry because you don't take into consideration their capabilities or their qualifications. You just take into consideration their religion, and that's prejudice, pure and simple.
Dr. Joel Hunter is senior pastor of Northland, a church distributed. He's the author of the book, A New Kind of Conservative, and you can learn all about him at his personal blog, PastorJoelHunter.com, www.PastorJoelHunter.com, and we'll get this linked at our blog at GodandCulture.com a little later. Dr. Hunter, it's been an honor to have you here on the program.
My pleasure. Blessings on you.